I was had a lot to think about this morning already with the devotional and that Marlon shared. I was liked his illustration on the board. I think it's more in line with, you know, walking together, you know, in the path toward heaven. We're not on a ladder. I think that's more the worldly picture of getting on top of the other people, or whoever's at the top wins. Well, that's not. Christ lowered himself and he humbled himself. He came down and he walked with men. He came down and walked with people to show us a way. He didn't come and chase us up a ladder. He walked with us. I like that picture. It's a helping picture. You know, if you're on a path and somebody comes along and you know, maybe your children are having a difficulty, maybe they've got something they can't pull, or maybe they've took on something that's almost too big for them. Well, you come alongside and you help them. I mean, that's a good picture of what Christ has done for us. You know, when we help those that need help. And for my message, I guess as I was studying what to share and different things that came to my mind, and I think we're going to hear some from Alan Troyer is going to be here, I think, preaching the first of May, which I think might be a little bit on what I was sharing. I was thinking maybe I could do a little preparation here for what he will expound on greater, I think, and that is on prayer. Is there anybody here that would say that they can't learn something on prayer? I guess I feel as I was meditating about this, and I was thinking, the Lord kind of spoke to me. I felt to share on something that you're needing, that you have needs in yourself, and I just feel like I'm so needy in that, you know, because prayer is, I mean, what is it? I mean, do you ever think about it? Talking to your Father, that's right. There's probably other ways you could phrase that too. Admitting that we're needy. And is that kind of hard sometimes? I think Marlon shared that a little bit. Sometimes, you know, pride is the opposite of that. I don't need you. I can figure this out myself. But prayer is more like admitting that we're needy. And there's you know, there's corporate prayer, there's personal prayer, and I guess I'm not going to get really into that too much, but there's all these. Let's go to Ephesians. If you want to, you can turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 10. And before we read this, why don't we pray and just ask the Lord to open our understanding so that we can understand the things that he wants to teach us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just come to you again this morning. Thank you that we can call upon you whenever we have need. Thank you that as we stand here before you, as I stand here before you, that you would use me as a vessel to encourage other saints, and Lord, that we can, most of all, that we can become more like you. Lord, we are needy people, especially I see it in my own life, Lord, just a trusting in prayer, bringing our needs to you with thanksgiving and asking when we have need, and that you want to hear us when we have need, Lord. We just pray that you would teach us by your word again and help us, Lord, to grow in your ways and that we can cast all our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that teaches us and that leads us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, this is the armor. The Christian armor is right here. It mentions here, Paul mentions here in Ephesians. We'll read this from verse 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 18 is the one I wanted to circle in on, is all prayer. He mentions the verses previous to that, he mentions other important, I'm not going to really go into those, but the armor, when he gives the armor, you know, the gospel, faith, the sword of the Spirit, salvation, and then he finishes up with all prayer. You know, we can think we have it, sometimes we think we have it figured out, but I don't know if you are like me, then I'm more after I think I have it figured out, and then something comes up, and I figure out that I'm more needy than I thought. I was thinking I read a little devotional that it was in the beginning of the year. It's on the verse in Colossians where it talks about continuing in prayer, watching in the same with thanksgiving. It says, it is interesting to remark how large a portion of sacred writing is occupied with the subject of prayer, either in furnishing examples, enforcing precepts, and pronouncing promises. We scarcely open the Bible before we read. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, and just as we are about to close the volume, the amen of an earnest supplication meets our ear. Instances are plentiful. Here we find a wrestling Jacob, there a Daniel who prayed three times a day, and a David who with his heart called upon his God. On the mountain we see Elias, in the dungeon Paul and Silas. We have multitudes of commands and myriads of promises. What does this teach us? But the sacred importance and the necessity of prayer. We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in his word, he intended to be conspicuous in our lives. You ever thought of that? What he made prominent in his word. I mean, if you look up prayer in the Bible, it's all over. I mean, it's the breath that the saints live by. It's God's it's the connecting link between, other than faith. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But then we come to him in prayer asking. We may, as I'll read this again. We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in his word, he intended to be conspicuous in our lives. If he has said much about prayer, it is because he knows we have much need of it. So deep are necessities that until we are in heaven, we must not cease to pray. Dost thou want nothing? Then I fear thou dost not know thy poverty. Hast thou no mercy to ask of God? Then may the Lord's mercies show thee thy misery. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Prayer is the lisping of the believing infant, the shout of the fighting believer, the requiem of the dying saint falling asleep in Jesus. It is the breath, the watchword, the comfort, the strength, the honor of a Christian. If thou be a child of God, thou wilt seek thy Father's face and live in thy Father's love. Pray that this year thou mayest be holy, humble, zealous, and patient. Have closer communion with Christ and enter oftener in the banqueting house of his love. Pray that thou mayest be an example and a blessing unto others, and that thou mayest live more to the glory of thy Master. The motto for this year must be continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. So there's lots of examples about prayer in the Bible. As we know, Daniel was asked not to pray, and that didn't stop him because there was a connection there between him and God. He would not lose heart in praying even when he was told not to. I mean, what would you do if your life was jeopardized because you prayed? What would I do? If you look at the 1828 dictionary on prayer, it says to ask with earnestness or zeal for the favor or for something desirable, to entreat, to supplicate. And remember it's always interesting, you know, that some of the disciples, Jesus' disciples, when they walked together, and then one time the disciples, after he got done praying, what did they say? Said, teach us how to pray. That's in Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I mean, it's such a beautiful picture of Jesus coming down to earth and his dependence on his Father, just praying. If he had to pray and for dependence and connection with his Father, how much more do we have to? I've been reading through the book of Acts. I've been reading through the book of Acts in, you know, chapter by chapter. I usually read a couple chapters at a time. And Acts is full of, you know, miracles and the things, you know, when they prayed, things happened. In Acts chapter 4, it's in the verse where they says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's in Acts 4, verse 31, 32, and 33. You know, sometimes as I was meditating on this, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if you've ever prayed where the building shook or anything, but did your heart shake? Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I think as we pray, there should be times when our hearts, or their connection, when there's a connection with God. I mean, I'm not going to say that every time you pray there needs to be some great shaking or awakening, but I think there should be some times that are, because we're the temple of God. God lives in us, and if, you know, when he delights when we come to him in prayer, when we have needs, we can ask. I'm going to read an example here in Acts chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 12. This is the place where they had Peter, where they had caught Peter and put him in prison, and he was in between the guards. This is the power, this is an example of the power of prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Without ceasing. There was somebody praying all the time. Remember when, I think, was it when there was the Haiti kidnapping? I think there was if I remember right, they had a time where you could commit to pray so that there was always someone praying. And what happened? They came out. Was that just because God wanted them out, or was it because people prayed? And yeah, I think it was because people were praying. Here they were praying. The church was praying. He says they ceasing, without ceasing for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter in the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of its own accord, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You see the little phrase where it says prayer changes things. I don't know if that's actually a Bible verse, but it's a Bible principle. Prayer changes things. Prayer can change your situation. When things look dark, prayer will change. What's the songwriter say? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. When life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. The thing about prayer is, you don't have to be very old to pray. I mean, I think the blessing of a mother being an example, you know, just sitting there with a little child as soon as they can talk, teaching them how to pray. You know, you can use Bible verses. You know, you can like the promises. You know, when God gives a promise, you can teach your children to repeat this promise and teach them how to pray. Growing up, it is always more like the older people are the ones that pray. But I think if you look at Scripture, when the young children were praising God, you know, when he was going in the temple, and then the disciples, some of them said, you know, they should tell them to be quiet. But Jesus said, if they were quiet, the rocks would cry out. And I think that can be true sometimes in prayer. You know, if we teach our children to trust in the Lord, they can sometimes put us to shame. I mean, I think it's a blessing if you, as a family, you sit around the table and you sometimes ask, you know, what can we pray for? Or you know, when you're at family devotions, I mean, get your children to pray sometimes. I mean, it's simple faith. Some simple prayers can mean more than a lot of words. But I think it's such a blessing that when a mother teaches her children to pray, not just the mother, I guess we dads, tough and gruff dads can be there too sometimes, but I think the mother, the wife has a more time together with the children. They face situations during the day, and sometimes they don't know almost what to do. And you know, the best thing is, I think the best example that you can be to your children, you know, when you get to those places, hey, let's pray. Or sometimes a prayer request comes, you know, from somebody else in the church. Just gather the children together and pray. I mean, what a blessing that can be. I mean, just dependence on God. I mean, whereas if it's just we get everything figured out, if we just get everything figured out, then we basically hurt ourselves if we think we have it figured out. Or maybe you never do that. In Acts is another one. In Acts chapter 16, just a couple of pages over here. I'm going to read a couple of verses. This was when Paul and Silas prayed. Verse 25 through 27. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 25 says, when they had prayed and sang praise unto the Lord, the prison, interesting little phrase there where it says, the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't like a quiet prayer. It was a prayer of faith and looking to God, I think. I'm not sure what all the be interesting to hear a story from one of the other prisoners that was there. Wonder how many more got saved. I mean, the keeper of the prison got saved, but it says here that the prisoners heard them. How many more prisoners were there? You know, if you look at some of those little stories, and you know, there was other prisoners in there that heard them. We just have a little part of all the things that happen. The Bible's only written for what we need. All the other stories, like those other prisoners, that'd be interesting, you know. We might hear some, I don't know what all we're going to do in heaven, but maybe we'll hear some of those stories, you know, of what the Lord did for those that heard. And so if you pray, I mean, we know that Jesus also told the don't pray as the hypocrites do, you know, to be seen, but don't be afraid to be heard. You know, we don't just go out and make a show of it, but at the same time, we're not afraid to pray. And when we have needs, they had a need. They were in prison, and they had a good opportunity to be discouraged, Paul and Silas. And if you never have one of those opportunities, then you must not be living on the earth, because we always get opportunities when discouraging times come. Those are good times to pray or ask. You know, sometimes in our accountability group, we just, you know, when there's certain, like a brother or somebody, you know, that's struggling in a certain area, tell them, hey, just put it on the group and we'll pray with you. Because that is a blessing, you know, if we can pray one for another. Because that's what James says. James, I also have that down here. Or maybe not that one. But in James it says, you pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, we tend to think sometimes when we pray and then things got taken care of, we think, well, that's just the way it went. You don't know. I mean, I kind of felt a little guilty as I was preparing this. I was thinking of our evening here on Wednesday evening. We came together, and the ladies got together, and they had their time together. And then between that and when the men got together, all of this other chaos started to happen. And we were in the basement trying to figure out how this water all came in here. And as I was studying this, I was thinking, did anybody ever mention anything about praying? Why didn't we pray? Maybe we could have stopped. Maybe we would have stopped if we'd have prayed. And I felt kind of convicted in my heart, and I was thinking, why didn't we pray? I mean, yeah, we called the neighbor and asked him, you know, why it comes in. He says, yeah, he doesn't know why it does that. Well, don't forget to pray, right? Did we forget to pray? I'm sure the ladies had prayed before us, but nobody. And, yeah. Then James also gives the little example of Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He was just a man like us. God would never do that for me, would he? Well, maybe there's some other things that you can ask him, and he will, I mean, he can give you victory in areas that you struggle in. If we pray, he wants us to come in prayer, asking in faith. Psalms 5 is another one where David was, I mean, if you look in Psalms and the Proverbs, I mean, it's full of verses about prayer. Psalm 65, it says, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. He hears and answers prayer. Another one in Psalms 109 says, "Hold thou thy peace, O God, my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." As Marlon was sharing the devotional about being defensive, if you look at David's life, you know, I think it was when Shimei was making fun of him and mocking him, David did not defend himself. He was thinking maybe God sent this for a reason. It almost seems like David was always looking at things from, okay, did God allow this for me? But David says here, you know, what Shimei was doing to him was mocking him. And here David says, I don't know, it wasn't from that, but it was, I think it was David's life. But here he said, "For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." You know what we tend to do as human beings, instead of, you know, when somebody like Shimei, you know, if somebody has an accusation against us, I think Marlon shared a little bit about being defensive. You know, when we become defensive, either we don't listen to, we're hurting ourselves when we become defensive instead of going into prayer. Lord, what is this? What is this something that I need to look at in my life? You know, when somebody brings something in to us, ask the Lord to show you. Prayer. David said he gives himself unto prayer. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." The Lord delights, God delights in prayer when his, says the prayer of the upright is his delight. Then in Philippians is a very, very familiar one too. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We don't say, that's usually not the way we word things, be careful for nothing. Another translation would call it, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With a thankfulness when we ask, when we come to God, there's a couple of them. Philippians has that, and then also in Colossians where it mentions, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When there's prayer, we also are thankful for what God has done. Continue in prayer. There's a couple songs I was thinking I don't think we sing them. I was thinking I was going to read them. They're in the hymns of the church. The one of them, they're in the prayer section, which is The first one is in 8:23. I'm just going to read it. I don't know if we know any of these. I don't know if I've ever heard this one sung. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Rise and ask without delay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. I mean, I just love this, this hymn. With your burden I begin. Lord, remove my load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilt set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, I come to thee for rest, take possession of my breast. There thy sovereign right maintain, and without a rival reign. And then also in 8:31 was another one I was thinking I would read. The title of Various Hindrances We Meet. And prayer is one of those. You know, when you spend time in prayer, what the devil tries to bring all kinds of things into your mind to distract you from praying. And I think that's a positive thing, because if prayer wasn't a link to God, he wouldn't try to do that. But because it's a positive, because prayer is a connection with God, and he tries to distract us, to bring hindrances to us. When you're hindered, you can, I don't know if you want to say rejoice in knowing that you're doing the right thing. Have you ever thought of it that way? When you get hindered, you know that you're doing the right thing because the devil is trying to keep you from it. Well, make sure you do it then, because you can just rebuke him and pray anyway. 8:31. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be oftener there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Have we no words? Oh, think again. Words flow apace when you complain. And fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, our cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Powerful, powerful hymns. I wouldn't mind learning some of those. There's more in that prayer section, but yeah, I guess that's about all I had to share on the, I know there's a lot more. There's lots of examples as I read that devotional. There's so many things in the Bible that, I mean, that's what the dependence on God comes out in our prayer life. And I feel I'm very needy in that. As I was meditating on what to share, I just felt like I need to confess that I need more. I need to. It's a need that I have to grow more in prayer, to dependence on God, and not in my own. It says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And just coming to him in prayer, you know, when we have need. You know, the woman, what did Jesus say to the woman that he met at the well? Her idea was, you know, when you pray that you need to go to the temple. But Jesus said, the hour is now, that if, how did he say? Don't know if I have that, I don't have that reference. But it's, you know, if we, in spirit and in truth, we pray to him, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be here in the church to pray. You don't have to be at home in your house to pray. You can be on the road in your vehicle, and when anywhere that you can be tempted, you can also pray. Prayer is something that it's a blessing that we can do it anywhere we go. Whenever we can be tempted, we can also pray. So may the Lord strengthen you in your prayer life. I guess I have more. I just have a desire to grow in that, and not sure that I'll ever reach perfection. But what did Paul say? I strive toward that, and my desire is to bring all my cares to the Lord and let him care for me. I don't have to carry burdens around. Prayer will change the night to day, and hopefully it can for you too, so I'm sure he will. God is no respecter of persons. God bless you.